Hoe kan jouw organisatie verbeteren? Hoe zorg je voor collega's die gelukkiger zijn? En hoe geef je zelf vorm aan je carrière? Je hoort het allemaal op het podcastkanaal New Business Radio Work. Met wetenschappelijke inzichten en de beste praktijkvoorbeelden. Check je favoriete podcastplatform en abonneer je op New Business Radio Work.
Let's Talk Business wordt mede mogelijk gemaakt door baas.nl.
New Business Radio.
Let's Talk Business International.
The green future of B2B trade. The European market for the sale of used business goods is more than 250 billion euro per year. And digital auctions growing very quickly. This development is driven by technological progress, increased digital adoption and a growing demand for sustainable alternatives. We're going to talk about this topic with multi-brand TB Auction. The online auction platform for used B2B goods in Europe makes auctioning more transparent and efficient. But how does the wondrous world of digital auctioning look like? What are the challenges and what are the trends and innovation? And what can we expect for the future? My name is Martien Howard and my Let's Talk Business guest today is Tom Christensen, CEO at TB Auctions.
New Business Radio.
Let's Talk Business International. Martien Howard.
Tom, a very warm welcome to you.
Welcome. Thank you. Yeah. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah, it's really wonderful that you're here. We're going to talk about TB Auctions, but of course about the green future of B2B trade. If we really look at your company, you're really a multi-brand, right?
Yeah, we have 8 brands today.
Yeah.
And we're continuously adding to the portfolio as we acquire companies.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this also later on. If you really look at the green future of B2B trade, what does it look like? What do you think?
I think it's a great future. I think that, you know, we have a lot of customers today who are excited to put their assets to use for a longer period of time than they've had on their books. The assets are fully depreciated and they'd like to be able to contribute to the overall well-being of the economy and of the earth by enabling people to use those assets in a longer lifespan.
Yeah. If we're really looking at those B2B trades, right? Also in Europe, do people really already know about it, or is it still a little bit like, okay, we don't know exactly what it is?
That's a great question. You know, auctioning today is really an emerging business, even though it has been around for over 2,000 years. Auctions started way back in ancient Babylon, but using an auction to sell a used business asset really is only about 2% of the trade of the 250 billion, as you mentioned today.
Yeah. How can that be? What do you think?
I think people are afraid of it. I think in a lot of situations, you know, when you're selling something, you want to know what price you're going to get. Mm-hmm. And an auction, by definition, you don't know until the auction closes.
Yeah.
So there's an aspect of fear that many sellers have to overcome. There's also an element of trust that it's a fair and that it's an honest auction. And a lot of, unfortunately, our smaller competitors are a bit less scrupulous. And so there is some real reasons for that fear and for that lack of trust.
Yeah, but if you really look at your mission also, you really have a big mission, right? To change the world with this.
Yeah, I mean, the vision and the mission of TBA is to be the leader of auctioning and to change the industry so that auctioning becomes the first and most trusted channel in order to sell business goods.
Yeah, yeah. If we really look at your platform, if people don't know you yet, what can we see at your platform? How does it look like?
Well, you'd have to go to one of our 8 websites. Yeah. And if you went to one of those 8 websites, you'd see a wide variety of business goods available for sale, anywhere from machinery that allows you to make furniture to backhoes and to farm equipment that allow you to operate your fields.
Yeah, yeah. So you can really have a look into different kind of products, right? It's really a big variety.
Yeah, and you know, for the curious observer, it's also a great place to just look at interesting machines and interesting machinery. And we do have a lot of our browsers that come back over and over. We have over 200 million annual sites to our visits to our websites, where people are looking for the products that they're interested in.
Yeah, yeah. And can you make can you give an example of very popular products also?
Well, tractors, forklifts, you know, we've got a lot of tractors and forklifts on the website. And, you know, it all depends. We auctioned off a carpet factory at the beginning of this year, and that drove millions and millions of people looking at the various machines that help you make carpets.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think it's always so important for people to know what they can really find over there, of
exactly,
course, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's why we make it very easy in the technology and the search features and the categorization, just as if you were shopping online at one of your favorite websites. You can come to our websites and browse for the things that you're interested in and easily discover them.
Yeah, you really have a big mission as a company, passionate about making digital auctioning the best option to create value for B2B sellers and bidders, but also it's about also the CO2 waste, right? Also to make that change.
Yeah, you know, we sell over 1 million assets per year, and as a result of selling 1 million used assets, there's tons and tons of carbon that are avoided being extracted into the air because we're not manufacturing new equipment. There's also hundreds of thousands, millions of kilograms of raw materials that are not extracted from the ground because we've put these used assets to further use rather than making new ones.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a very sustainable way to still make use of those products, right?
Absolutely. And it allows, you know, developing economies, and it allows smaller businesses to get access to equipment that otherwise they might not be able to afford because it is 4 or 5 years old, but it still operates perfectly well.
Yeah. If you look at other products like clothes and that kind of stuff, it's already, I think, more known and more normal for people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, there's some great websites here in the Netherlands, all across Europe and the United States for, you know, selling your used clothes, selling used furniture. The idea of selling used business assets, it's harder. And many businesses find it just much easier to dispose of those assets and throw them away just because it is hard to find a buyer and it is hard to make that sale efficient and easy. And that's what we're trying to do for those sellers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You really want to make that change, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's part of the fundamental core of what our team is trying to do.
Yeah. You already have a big history also as a company. We're going to talk about this later on. But can you tell us all a little bit already about your history as a company?
Sure. Well, you know, the company goes way, way back to the early 1900s with the foundation of Troostwijk Auctions. And that's the core of who TBA started as here in the Netherlands as a Dutch company. In the last 3 years, we've done about 12 acquisitions of companies in Sweden called Klarvik, companies in Norway called Auktionen, companies in Denmark called Auktionhuset DAB.
Yeah.
And we just recently completed an acquisition in continental Europe based out of Dusseldorf called Surplex. So we continuously are adding auction companies to our family, and we are migrating those onto our technology platform so that we can operate as one company through multiple storefronts.
Yeah, you're growing and growing.
Continuously growing organically. We do quite a bit of double-digit organic growth per year, and as well these acquisitions that really help us build our skill set and capabilities.
Is growing really a big mission also for you as a company?
Yeah, growth is really the DNA of our company. We're very excited about not just growing for the sake of growth, but because with each new customer that we get, we know that we're putting more machines back to use and we're putting more equipment back to use and contributing to the circular economy.
Yeah. You're the CEO of TB Auctions. What makes this job so challenging for you?
You know, I've joked that being the CEO of a business is much more like being a chief psychiatry officer than a business executive. And the biggest challenge is culture, and the biggest challenge is people, and assembling the right skills, the right personalities, and operating the team as if it was an orchestra. It's the most exciting part, but it is also, quite honestly, one of the most challenging components, ensuring that we do the right things for the right people and get them to work well together.
Yeah, like an orchestra. I like
exactly,
that.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I can imagine that it's also quite challenging, especially because you already have like 1,200?
Yeah, we have 1,200 colleagues today.
Yeah.
Spread all across, you know, 20 countries in Europe.
Yeah, yeah, that's really a lot already.
It's quite a few. Yeah. You know, it's not a small team of people. We're about 250 people here in the Netherlands. And, you know, Europe is not very big, but the cultures and the vibrancy of the diversity of the people that we have on the team really makes us so much better and more powerful. And having those 1,200 people is really quite exciting for us.
Yeah, I can imagine. You really want to be, I think one of the biggest or maybe the biggest platform of Europe, right? But are there also other ambitions? Like,
we're really focused on our mission in Europe in the near term. I, as a leader, I like my teams to focus on doing one thing and doing it really, really well so that we can earn the credibility to do other things. Yeah. But the world is a big place, and the technology that we have built, like I said, allows us to have multiple storefronts operating on the same technology. So one auction isn't just visible on one storefront, it's visible on 8 storefronts. And so it's not just reaching 50,000 bidders with one storefront, it's reaching 700,000 bidders that are a part of TB Auctions. And we see that there are opportunities to expand that, whether it's continued expansion in Europe, we can also look to North America and all around the world. There's limitless opportunities for us.
Yeah, and the way you're working, technology and innovation is then also very important, right?
Absolutely. Technology is at the core of who we are and the platform that we're building. And it's part of everything that we do.
Van hippe start-up tot ijzersterke multinational.
Iedereen praat mee.
Dit is New Business Radio.
We're here with TB Auctions, the online auction platform for used B2B goods in Europe. Tom, it's always time to go back in history during this second part of Let's Talk Business. If we go back in time, let's say you were a small guy, of 10 years.
Yeah.
What were your dreams?
Oh, my dreams, when I was a small boy at 10, I wanted to run a business. I always dreamed of being a CEO and being responsible for people and being responsible for building things. My favorite thing when I was 10 years old was Lego. And the building of Lego and the creation of something was just always fascinating for me. So that was my ambition, even from the age of 10, that I wanted to build something and run a business.
So it's in your blood, I think.
Maybe, yeah. My father was also a president of a company, and so I guess I had a bit of a mentor and a guide to give me some inspiration.
Yeah. If you look a little bit further, also with your study and everything, what were really important things that maybe you're still using now?
For me, solving problems. Trying to create patterns where otherwise they didn't exist. Mm-hmm. I like to simplify complex problems into bite-sized problems because I just think that it's much easier to explain a situation or explain a problem when you can break it down into small component parts and pieces. So I've always in my life tried to take something that's very complex and make it simple, partly because I just think I'm not that smart. And it's a lot easier for me to understand things when I see pictures and models and frameworks to put context to something.
Yeah, because I think it's for everybody very important to make it more simple. But how do you do that?
You repeat the same thing over and over and over. I find if you create a framework that's straightforward and easy and try to replicate that framework and repeat it, so then everyone understands the component of the framework that they're working in, that's the best way to get alignment and engagement.
Can you give an example?
Well, we use a framework for our business model called a flywheel. And a flywheel business model is... it's not my invention. It's been around for a long time. Amazon is credited with one of the greatest flywheel businesses. And a flywheel, if you think of it, is essentially a big, heavy mechanical device like a windmill, of which we have many, many here across the Netherlands, water mills. And the concept of a windmill or a water mill is that it takes a lot of energy to get the momentum started. And it takes a lot of manual effort and a lot of pushing in order to start the rotation of the windmill or the watermill. But once that rotation has started, the momentum of that big, heavy mechanical device continues. Even if the wind dies down for a while, the machine keeps rolling and keeps moving.
It still goes on.
And it's very similar to a business.
Yeah.
If you find the right inputs and apply the right pressure and investments in those inputs, at a certain point in time, the momentum of the business is self-sustaining and it continues. And that the business model of TB Auctions is a flywheel, and it's designed around buyers and sellers, trust in the ecosystem, ease of use, and having the right selection and a couple of other components.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful, wonderful how you really also explained this. If we really go back, your journey began in investment banking at JP Morgan, right?
Correct, yeah. I started my life as an investment banker. You know, I was that 10-year-old kid that said, okay, you study economics in college, then you go work for an investment bank and you learn how numbers work.
Yeah.
Then you go to business school, then you become a strategy consultant, and then all of a sudden you become a CEO of a business. It took me 35 years to get to that point, but I think I charted the right path. I probably was a little bit more boring than some of the kids in the world, but I was a very conscious decision when I was young, and I checked off all the boxes along the way, so I have a little bit of pride in that.
Yeah, you learn a lot also about that, I think.
I've had some really, really exciting experiences. I did work at Amazon, and I had the luxury and pleasure of being in a room with Jeff Bezos a couple of times, and really understanding how a true genius in business works was a great experience for me. And I've had other moments where I've had opportunities to work with great business leaders like that and to learn lessons.
Yeah, yeah. What is also a big lesson that you really learned?
Well, you know, focusing on people and knowing that you have to help people thrive was one of the greatest lessons. Also understanding that there's fundamentally, I think, two types of people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of goes back to playing with Legos.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of kids that will buy the model of the Lego and they'll see the spaceship or the picture of the plane and they'll follow the instructions and build that plane. And there's a whole bunch of other kids who will dump all the Legos into a brown box and live in chaos, and they'll eventually create something under time pressure. And those are two very different ways of working. And
yeah,
we have to appreciate that within the workplace, you have both of those types, and you need to figure out how to get them to work well together in order to get the most from the team.
Yeah, how do you do that?
Communication and understanding and appreciating that different people operate in different ways. But most importantly, for the folks that like that chaos, helping them really appreciate that there can be some checkpoints and milestones, and it doesn't just have to all finish at the deadline.
Because I think it's always such a personal thing, right? Everybody works differently.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And aligning how people work and getting them to work well together is really, I think, one of the greatest challenges of management.
Yeah. You already have quite big history in work, right, in your career. What was really a big challenge for you?
Well, I think you're saying I'm old.
No, totally not. No.
I'm not there yet, although arguably a little bit. I think, you know, I've had a lot of challenges through the course of my career. Some of them, you know, have been the nature of the problem that I'm working with. Some of them have been the people, frankly, that I've worked with. But I think the greatest challenge that I overcome was being my true self at the office.
Mm.
And, you know, that goes back now 30 years when I had a mentor and she said, hey, Tom, you can't just tell people you didn't do something on the weekend because you're a 20-year-old guy. You went out and did things. And I said, well, I don't want to tell people that I went out with my boyfriend. And she said, well, you have to. And you have to be yourself at the office. That's how people will trust you.
Yeah.
And that was, for me, the greatest challenge I had to overcome was the comfort of being myself with my colleagues and knowing that, you know, they're going to assess me and evaluate me how they will. But it's the quality of my work and the personal engagement that we can build with each other that will allow us to be successful.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful that you're sharing this, because I think it's such a... Yeah, such an important thing to be yourself, but it's not so easy, especially in different kind of jobs, of course.
Absolutely.
But also, I think when you're a leader, it gives you more pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't really feel the freedom to be yourself, maybe.
You know, in taking the role as CEO, one of my fears was that it's potentially the loneliest job.
Yeah.
You know, folks say the president of the United States is a lonely job because you don't have real peers.
Yeah. But you hear that a lot, right?
And you fear if you share vulnerability,
yeah,
then the team will lose confidence. But in fact, I find that being more authentic and sharing vulnerabilities with my team, maybe they'll tell me I'm crazy when I get back to the office, but I feel that it's created a greater sense of team among our group, and we've really bonded together because we've been able to each share our vulnerabilities and our dreams and what really inspires us.
Yeah, I think it's such a wonderful thing because when you open up, you also give the freedom to other people to also open up.
Absolutely, yeah, and having that comfort and safety in the environment, in the office, in the culture is absolutely critical for everyone to shine.
Yeah, you're now the CEO of TB Auctions. What is really your mission right now as a CEO?
Our mission is to continue to grow the company and to give our customers, both our sellers and our buyers, a great experience so that it's easy for them to trade the business assets that they have. Laser focused on that mission, continuing the success of the company and continuing to invest in the team members who are helping us to build that future.
And for you personally, where do you want to grow?
That's a hard one. You know, I learn something new every single day. I learn something new about the business that we're working in, about the people that we're with. And for me, just that everyday learning is super, super exciting. Trying to always be better and learn from mistakes and learn from pitfalls is really what I aspire to continue to do.
Yeah, yeah. As a company, you also have a quite big history already.
Yeah.
What were really the biggest steps, or maybe one of the most important steps for TB Auctions?
I think you'd have to look probably into the history of Troostwijk to say what was one of the biggest steps, and that was moving from offline auctions where you pound on the table and the gavel falls down and all the assets are brought into one warehouse and you have a whole bunch of bustling folks in a crowd raising their paddles, shifting from that offline world to the online world where everything is digital, where people are clicking on their mouse at the last second in order to put in their final bid. I think that's one of the biggest fundamental changes in the history of TB Auctions. And it was with our Troostwijk business, which has been around for 75 years.
Yeah.
Most of our other brands are much newer. They were developed initially in the digital economy. And it's been an evolution for them, but not that radical shift that we had for Troostwijk probably back in the 90s when that occurred.
Yeah. It's really a big shift, right? If you also really look at all the technology, it's really a big thing.
It's a big thing. And even our business model is quite different from many of our competitors. Many of our competitors require that the assets that are being sold are brought into a warehouse or some type of a parking lot. And then there's a viewing day and there's a whole lot of waste and transportation in order to get all this stuff on one site. We auction from the location of where the asset sits.
Yeah.
And that's just a radically different innovation, even today in the existing world versus our competitors.
This is New Business Radio.
We're still here with Tom Christensen from Team TB Auctions. Tom, we already talked about the history, but let's go on with the innovations and the trends. Innovating.
Yep.
Technology is very important for you as a company, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Building a tech platform that allows us to operate multiple storefronts and have the dynamics of one auction visible to 700,000 potential bidders is a technology feat in and of itself.
Yeah.
But, you know, building on top of that with innovations is very much what our team is focused on.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think you're also constantly working on that, right?
Yeah, yeah. What we're very excited about are multiple different innovations that are kind of coming to market now and that we have on the roadmap for the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this world today, everyone talks about data. The concept of big data is now morphed into AI. But utilizing, and we have a catalog that's by far the greatest catalog of historical pricing and information about assets than really anyone in Europe. And the ability to use that data to predict what a value of an item will be, to predict what the outcome of an auction will be, is in its infancy today. We've built the beginnings of the algorithms that allow us to do that. And we're going to be deploying that more and more so that our sellers, when they're setting up their auctions and when they're considering how much are they going to get for the asset that they put out there, as I said earlier, the fear of how much will an auction return is one of the reasons why sellers don't sell things at auction. Mm-hmm. We can use data to provide some certainty to say, hey, this same asset or a very similar asset has sold X number of times in the past based on current market conditions, our predicted lot value is X.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a significant innovation in our industry and one that really, I think, will accelerate our growth ahead of many of our competitors.
Yeah, because I think that security, to really mm-hmm. give that security, is such an important thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
But then you also have to work with a lot of other companies, right, to give really that security.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, on top of that, the innovations, they're not really innovations, but the bringing together in the ecosystem of services that allow our customers, especially buyers, to mm-hmm. get security around the asset that they're purchasing. Many of our websites today already offer services like insurances, guarantees, warranties, and we'll be building the capability for that to be in a marketplace dynamic way so that you as a buyer know if you purchase this asset, you can get a warranty or an insurance product, and it's going to be at the best price because it's in a marketplace. It's digitally connected with multiple potential vendors.
Yeah. Yeah. We can also really see it as a marketplace, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If we really look into the innovations, because like data is, of course, very important, mm-hmm. but if we really look at innovating everything,
yeah.
how do you really work on that as a company?
Yeah. Well, we're very lucky, not TB Auctions specifically, but the world is very lucky that there is so much innovation around AI and machine learning, and there's many, many different great companies that have these capabilities, photo recognition, text recognition. Our strategy is to plug and play with the best of those mm-hmm. so that when we have on the seller application on their phone, a seller, we don't have this technology right now, we're innovating it and building it, but you can take a picture of the tractor that you would like to sell, or you can take a picture of the forklift, and then the machine figures out exactly what it is, pre-populates it, gives you what the expected value will be, and helps you automatically set up the auction for the sale of that asset. That is not crazy. That's not, you know, 10 years in the future. It's just a matter of us plugging and playing into some really, really cool technology solutions that are already out there. We will be the platform that integrates those for our bidders and for our sellers.
Yeah, yeah. That would be really a great big step, right?
Ease of use and making things self-service and one click is fundamental to the core of how we're building our technology. And we feel that there's many, many tools that we can innovate and build or that we can buy and borrow in order to deliver that experience.
Yeah, yeah. That usability is such an important thing.
Yeah.
Also with the new generation and everything.
The new generation really, and even the old generation, my generation, yeah. we've become addicted to our devices.
Yeah.
And frankly, we don't like people. And we don't like getting phone calls, and we don't like talking on the phone when otherwise there is a digital way to do that communication. And we're building it into our platform. All of that communication, all of that post-auction negotiation can be automated or through the app and the phone so that the people don't have to get on the phone and talk to each other, which fundamentally no one likes to do anymore unless it's your family.
Yeah, it has to be quick and quicker
Easy, one click. Not even a click, just look and think about it and it happens for you. And that's the future of technology. Any technology, that's really the future of where we're going.
And that the innovation you just said, right? Or you talked about it right now. How long does it take, do you think?
Well, the funny thing about technology is it always takes 10 times longer than you think it should. And when you have 10 engineers, they work 10 times faster than when you have 100 engineers. It's just the nature of big tech. Mm-hmm. But, you know, these are innovations that we're putting out there today. And everything that I just talked about is on the roadmap for the next 12 to 24 months. Yeah. So this is real stuff, and it's happening real time for our sellers, for our bidders. And we think it's going to be a very, very exciting time for them to continue to be buying and trading their assets on our platforms and seeing how that experience evolves and becomes easier and easier and easier.
Yeah. If we really looked into innovation, but also sustainability,
yeah,
it becomes more and more important, I think, especially for customers here in Europe, that things are sustainable, right?
Yes. Yeah. Sustainability is one of the top priority on almost all corporate agendas.
Yeah.
And all of our customers are passionately interested, not just because they have to. And there are regulations in Europe next year that we'll have to comply with, all companies will have to comply with, that drive us towards a greener future. It's not just because of regulation, it's because people are passionate about it. And another innovation that we have on our platform is the ability to get a CO2 impact report for each product that you sell. Mm. We will give you the estimation that you can utilize for your reporting purposes, but also so that you, the seller and the buyer, know how much CO2 did you avoid, how many raw materials were not extracted because you traded this used good.
Oh, wow.
That ease of reporting is another innovation that no one else in our industry is able to provide.
Yeah. And here, data is also then very important, of course.
Absolutely. All of that is based on the data that we have about what it takes to make one of those machines.
Yeah, yeah. But also to make it more like visual, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That you can really see what you're doing then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Having that report, knowing where the needle is on the dial and the impact on it, you know, people consume based on what they see. When you can see the impact of what you're doing, it makes you feel better about it, mm-hmm, and it makes it much more real.
Yeah, yeah. If we really look into all those things, technology, innovation, sustainability, it's a lot of things, and then also with a lot of people.
Yep.
Because you're really a multi-brand. You're working with so many different kind of companies that,
right,
all have to work together.
Right.
How do you do that?
You know, we're very focused on building a common vision and mission and one set of values for the company and the brands that we operate in. And it's very, very important that we build a culture that, while it represents the diversity of our brands, the diversity of our people and the countries in which we operate, that it all comes back to a core mission of what we want to be,
yeah,
and how we are going to achieve that. So it's defining the clarity of that core vision, mission, and values that really allows us to kind of build the ways of working across teams and across cultures, across brands.
Yeah, because you're really operating in the Nordics, in the Benelux,
yep,
in the UK, continental Europe. Can you say that there are also differences between those different kind of,
you know? Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah,
quite a few differences, not just in the cultures and how people operate, but the rewards and the compensation practices are different in each of those. But the customers are different, and how you engage with those customers and how you build trust.
Yeah.
We've really been very successful in the Nordics with investing in brokers who have close personal relationships with sellers, and they have built those relationships. We think that that's a business model that can be copied,
yeah,
across the rest of Europe, and we're investing to do that. But, you know, fundamentally, those relationships with people are the same no matter where you are, but culturally, there's a lot of differences. You have fikas in Sweden, which are super, super important, coffee breaks with some sweets in the afternoon. It's almost... You're almost doing a disservice, or you're insulting people if you don't attend the fika when the office has that.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, here we have in the Netherlands happy hours on Thursdays, just,
yeah,
so that people can come together and celebrate and have some fun. And it's very different in each of the offices where we operate, in each of the countries where we operate.
Yeah, and you can really see then also the differences between the trading and every kind of stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, we're focused on training our employees. We have standard operating, training mm-hmm. materials, based on the business that you're in, based on the role that you're in. But again, it's customized to where you are and to how you're going to apply it to your business and to your sellers and to your bidders who are unique to your country.
Yeah, because if you really look at the Dutch customers, I hear that a lot also from other companies. Sustainability is a big thing here in mm-hmm. Holland, but we can also be quite critical because we already know a lot about sustainability.
Yeah.
How do you think about that?
Well, the Dutch are brutally honest. That's that's well known. Every Dutch person I know, that's the first thing they lead with is, I'm Dutch, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
And that's great. And I wish all of us could be more honest. But it is good to have that critical eye because that raises the bar of our performance.
Yeah.
And we very much appreciate that perspective.
Yeah. How are you working on that also? Because you're always going to have some critics, right?
Yeah.
Or like security people are maybe questioning it.
Yeah.
How do you really work on that? Because that's also a thing that you want to innovate, I think, as a company.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we have employees who see change and they can sometimes be critical of that change. We have buyers who see change in how we do our operations, you know, that we recently changed our website and how you browse on that website here in the Netherlands on TroostwijkAuctions.com.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have sellers who sometimes don't like when we change policies. And that's fine. And we want to listen to them. We want to understand the reasons and to really get to the root causes of why they might not be happy with the change or otherwise be critical. Because when we listen to criticism, we learn and we can become better. So I welcome criticism. Whenever we have employee town halls, I ask for the hard questions and I want to hear what's not working because it's not always happiness and roses. Sometimes there are things that we just need to learn from and to do better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where the growth starts always.
Absolutely,
huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the future in the last part of Let's Talk Business.
Van hippe start-up tot ijzersterke multinational.
Iedereen praat mee.
Dit is New Business Radio.
We're still here with Let's Talk Business. And we're going to the last part of this program already, Tom.
Amazing. It's flown by. Thank you.
It goes always fast.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. You're really helping companies to reduce their ecological footprint also with your platform. And you also really made a big step with Surplex, right?
Right. We just completed in August an acquisition of a really outstanding a company called Surplex.
Yeah.
Surplex focuses on machinery that helps build things out of metal or build things out of wood. It sounds so simple, but furniture and almost anything you see around you is made out of metal. And they're an industrial auction company that sells off those assets for those sellers.
Why was this an important step to make? As
sure.
A company
well,
for you?
Surplex is a great brand. It's the strongest brand across continental Europe outside of Benelux and UK. So that was one primary reason that we were excited about it. The other reason that we were very excited about it is that they have a leading market position in metal and wood auctioning. And another aspect that was very interesting about them is that they have a high component of value-added services. Things that help the auction move more easily for both the buyers and the sellers.
Yeah.
Those were the business reasons. But then whenever we look at auctions, there's the business reasons, there's the financial component, but there's also something that's generally much more important. That's the culture, that's the DNA of the team that we're looking to add to our family.
Yeah.
I sit in a position where almost anyone that runs an auction company in Europe knows that TB Auctions is in the market to buy auction companies. So I see 10, maybe 20 auction companies every month who are asking, hey, would you want to buy us? And a real differentiator between them is not necessarily financial performance or business performance or operations. It's the culture, it's the values of the management and of the team. At TB Auctions, we have a set of values. I think the most important value there is do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at acquisitions, are they doing the right thing? Do they have business practices that are transparent? Do their customers trust them? Can they become part of our ecosystem and be a better player? We hold ourselves to the highest bar. We're the biggest online auction company in Europe with more than $1.5 billion of sales per year.
Yeah.
And so the scrutiny is on us to do better. And so every acquisition that we look at, we want to make sure is the culture there to do the right thing and to raise the bar in terms of performance and trust.
Yeah, yeah. So to work together with a new company, you really have to get to know each other then.
Absolutely.
Right?
I often liken it. It's like dating, you know, or proposing to get married.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you can go on a date for 3 or 4 or 5 months and then you hate each other and you have a fight and you break up. But then 6 months later, you come back. You never know when the time is right to ask the question. But that, you know, making an acquisition of a company is very much like dating. And you have to be persistent and you have to work on that relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like we already said in the beginning, growing is a big thing for you as a company.
Yep.
Not only, of course, with all those employees, but also with all those companies you're working with. But also sustainability, right?
Yeah,
to really make the change into the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And for us, the greatest challenge for growth is finding sellers and getting their products listed on our websites.
Yeah.
And we're making significant investments through our 4 go-to-market channels, both self-service, our sales and account management teams that are focused on industry verticals, and an investment in brokers who I described earlier, who are assigned regional territories. And they don't knock door to door, but they kind of almost are like salespeople knocking door to door, building trusted relationships with sellers. Because like we said earlier, auctioning is still sometimes not necessarily the most trusted way to sell an asset.
Yeah.
And we're investing in people to convince those sellers that it is the best way to sell. 2% of used business assets today are sold through auctions. We see a future where that will be 20% or more, and that's going to be through the sheer force of investing in our flywheel, a lot of manual efforts of getting salespeople in front of sellers and convincing them and demonstrating success once they've been convinced to list on the platform. Hey, we sold it. We sold it in 7 or 14 days. We got a premium price for it, and at the end of the day, you are no longer the owner of that asset and you have a positive contribution to your sustainability goals.
Yeah, and what's also a very positive thing, I think it's becoming more and more a trend also.
Absolutely, yeah. It's becoming more of a trend. The enthusiasm around auctioning is certainly there. We're I think, leading it in many ways, but we're also benefiting from that cultural transition that's happening across Europe.
Yeah, because like we already said in the beginning, you see it with other products. It's getting so popular now, for example, clothes and that kind
Absolutely,
of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think also with these kind of products, people have to get to know it more and more and more, so it becomes more normal.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know the marketplaces for clothes and other items, they tend to be lower value, and our assets are in the thousands of euros.
Yes.
So it does take time to build that trust to say, yeah, I'm going to look at a picture and read a description and place a bid on something for 40,000 euros.
Yeah.
That's a fear factor, not for the seller, but for the buyer. And you know, the more adoption that we see, the more incremental change that we see on other consumer platforms has a benefit for the business platform.
Yeah, I would love to talk with you further and further, but yeah, that's not possible.
Yeah.
What can we expect for the future?
I think it'll be an exciting story. I think that, you know, I hope we make a lot more news with continued acquisitions. I think we will continue to grow across all of Europe and make investments in our brands. And I think that we're really going to be leaning in on driving adoption of auctioning by really getting in front of the market, explaining how auctions work, and kind of explaining how they're a much better way to sell your used business assets. And importantly, to put those assets to use in the circular economy. We're going to be much more aggressive with our marketing around that and building the halo of auctioning, because when we build the halo around auctioning, it's great for TB Auctions.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe you're also going to work with more and more companies, of course.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. A wonderful future ahead, I think. I want to thank you for sharing your vision. It's really inspiring what you're doing.
Thanks so much. It's been a real pleasure.
And good luck with everything.
Thanks.
Tom Christensen from TB Auctions. Thank you so much.
Dit is New Business Radio.